Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Good morning. Welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your host, Trent. We're coming off of, well, I guess we're a week and a half off of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Christmas season is in
the air. Not a week and a half off Thanksgiving. We're
past Thanksgiving. Well, we've got 30.
We're not a week and a half. We're half week past Thanksgiving.
A half week past Thanksgiving. You're right.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? You took your hat off, got all serious in here?
I wanted to shine the light.
You wanted the beacon.
Yeah. Rolling down in the deep. Masked Wolf.
I got you.
Playing this for you guys, letting y'all know what the kids are listening to.
I got you.
Last year.
Last year. And we talked about that, too.
Ford's like, that's so yesterday, Dad. I'm like, leave it alone, buddy.
4 to 8, and he's telling him things are yesterday.
So
already.
We went to Ford's tryout the other day. That he's 8, rec league, but basketball, at the new Belmont Rec Center in Belmont across the river. It is nice, pretty cool facility.
I have not been. Now, where is it in Belmont?
I mean, you cross the river on Wilkinson and then take a left right there on Catawba, and it's on the right there.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
I mean, it kind of overlooks the river from a distance, if you know what I'm saying. There's a skate park outside. All the hipsters are skating these days.
That's one sport I don't think we should pick up.
I used to have a quarter pipe. Dad built me a quarter pipe.
I could see it.
And then one time we had a baseball party when I was in Little League, and the kid had a half pipe, so both full side, half of a circle. And I dropped in, and I fell and busted my head. I had a helmet on, but I busted my head backwards. And I never tried to ride a half pipe again.
Smart. I saw a couple stars and said that was
I was pretty good at the quarter pipe. And I had my Tony Hawk board. I remember this board cost me about $180, my big gift from my birthday. I, like, compiled some gifts to get this gift. And we were having a baseball cookout on Princeton Avenue at Dilworth Little League, and I had my board sitting out there.
Some thugs
rode by in a minivan and jumped out and stole, like, 4 skateboards. My Tony Hawk was gone.
No more Tony Hawk.
And Dad said, "That's your fault, you dummy.
Serves you right.
Leave your board sitting out here. I told you not to bring it.
Should have locked that
joker up. You got swing sets and merry-go-rounds, son.
I hear you.
And cakes.
Goodness. How do you lock up a skateboard? Cut a hole in the middle of it?
You don't bring it.
You don't bring it.
That's what
you
do.
Or you stay on top of it.
He told me not to bring it.
Man.
But that's crazy. People.
Yeah, that sucks. That's no good. You have told that story before. That's
I have
upsetting.
Told that story?
Yeah, I had my bike stolen from me when I was a kid.
It's sad. It's heartbreaking.
You put all this time and effort, energy into it.
You know, I was like 11 at the time, 10 or 11, and I didn't have means to go replace it. Actually, it was such a material thing that I don't think after I got it stolen, I didn't want to replace it. It wasn't that valuable to me.
You were done.
So then every other birthday, I wanted the cash. Cold, hard cash.
We can go buy some baseball cards and flip it.
Yeah.
And
that did good until steroids. All those guys started using steroids.
Oh, I thought you were talking about you were using steroids.
Yeah. I started wasting my money on a better product. Can't you see these guns? I got to be honest with you. I've never had bad acne or anything. God bless. I mean, some people have something, some people don't. But I got out of college and, whatever, I don't know. And I had some acne on my back a little bit. Not terrible, but I was like, this is weird. I've never really had this. I've already been through my teenage years. I'm a grown man.
Gotta watch that juice, man.
And I go to the dermatologist. Reagan's like, well, idiot, go to the dermatologist. I'm like, go to the dermatologist? She's like, yeah, that's what you do when you have something going on with your skin, you idiot. And I went, and the dude's like, man, are you use steroids? I'm like, no. I don't look at me. I mean, this is all I got.
Look at these pipes.
I mean, I feel the compliment. No. I got
he
it.
He did not say that.
I'm like, should I start? Are you trying? He's like, I got a little side hustle.
No. Those dorm showers got you.
I don't know what got me. This is after the dorms, so okay. I don't all know. Right. I mean, I wasn't rubbing my shoulders on the wall in the dorm shower, Patrick. I was kind of trying to stand there and tiptoe.
Maybe you grabbed the wrong. Maybe
with my flip flops on.
Grab the wrong towel. That can happen.
You know, man, now I go to the Y, lay down on the shower floor and take a nap. And you just get older. Life isn't all cracked up, which you thought it was going to be. Just got to live a little.
Laying on the sauna.
I, too, go in the steam room.
Yeah, steam room.
I'm better. A steam room guy.
I gotcha.
That is good. I took David Stoffel. We went to the Y one day, worked out, and I took him in the steam room. He about fell out on me. I was like, that's a big guy. I'm going to have to pick him up. Hope his towel don't fall off. Goodness gracious.
Dang, that's funny.
Anyway, I'm a big fan of the Y. I think the Y, I'm going to give the Y a little plug. Number one, it's a Christ-led organization from its founding. But I like the Y because you can go to any Y in the United States with your Y. With my Gaston County Y membership, I go to the Harris Y a lot when I'm on Moorhead. Jim's been wanting to talk the whole segment.
Hey, he's coming on.
I wish I knew everything that would make his lips twitch, and then I would talk about it. Oh, you're out of here, dude.
His mic is on. He tried, though.
He did. He did. We know how to control you guys.
Well, no, but this is a really cool opportunity to have Jim on the show. You would need to get that.
No,
oh, okay.
I don't.
But we just met Jim a few weeks ago. It's been over a month now, but at a great event in Chicago.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it on the next
Robert
segment.
Fish put this Robert together. Fish. He's been on the show. It was Jim Collins' event.
Good
great,
to great
education. Yep. We met Mr. Contest over here, Jim. Guy, you were handsome. And we said, dude, you need to come talk about your show. We need to hang out.
Yeah,
so
cool
he's
stuff.
Here.
Yep.
So we got Jim Contest when we return. Aviation Medals. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your host. If you missed the last segment, you can go back. Check us out on any... you're looking at me funny. Instagram,
no, I'm not doing
Facebook,
all
LinkedIn,
social media. I don't know what I did. I just looked at you.
You can go to Spotify or anywhere you can find a podcast. You can find us.
I mean, ever since I led the show a couple weeks ago, it's like you're trying to put the burden on me now.
You look upset.
TJ, you agree with this? I just looked at you.
You look upset.
I was letting you do your thing. Jim.
Yes.
How you doing? You got a voice.
Well, you know, I think between all the little bickering, maybe I could be mediator for you guys today.
So.
What do you think?
I might throw this microphone at that direction. It's got this like little white, you know, swing thingy. I might be able to get it to you.
I mean, I think you see how we operate, don't you?
We do. First-hand experience.
Yeah. They call this business partners.
That's
yeah. So, I don't know did I say your last name right? Jim Contis.
Connus.
That's a cool name. I think I said during the break, that's a unique last name. First time I've ever heard it.
It's very unique. One of a kind.
Meeting you. And we met in Chicago.
We did.
And you and your wife run a business called Aviation Medals.
We do.
Tell us about your business.
We are a 48-year-old metal distributor that supplies aircraft quality materials, raw material goods to the airline and aerospace industry. Anything from sheet, plate, bar, tubing, and et cetera, and many value-added services. And a lot of our customers end up being anywhere from the airlines to a lot of fab shops, part shops, component manufacturers. And more specifically, MROs, which are maintenance, repair, overhaul facilities, which do a lot of the maintenance for aircraft and airlines throughout the industry.
Maintenance, repair, overhaul facilities.
Correct.
Yeah.
Never heard that acronym.
We were in the MRO business at Ferguson. We had an MRO division.
Really?
Had a big catalog. Yeah. Back in Hughes Supply had one as well. But it's a big business.
It's a side of the business, and I always, you know, compare it to, you know, like most people don't change their oil in their cars anymore. They take it somewhere. Well, neither do the airlines. And in this case, you have different maintenance schedules. In this case, A, B, C checks, A and B and C, heavy to lightest.
Really?
Which they gut out an aircraft, you know, and they so they have to go through these checks, and different checks require different maintenance. Some are lighter or heavier than others. And that's what these facilities do, given the fact of the sensitivity of aircraft. They have to be maintained very well, obviously speaking.
Well, I was at a YPO event this summer, and who did the Gazelles? What's
Gazelles?
The book. I can't think of his name. Anyway, business guy, kind of like Jim Collins, where we met, was talking, and he said the safest place to be over the last 10 years is in a commercial aircraft in the air. They've had
really
three people die in 10 years. And that was like five years ago, a window busted, and I think it killed two people, the debris. But in the United States of America, the last 10 years, safest place to be.
Yeah, we don't like to talk about that, Trent. We like to talk about what we do to offer the safety and whatnot. I'm joking.
I was giving you all the credit for it. You're the reason.
I think a lot of
MROs.
There's a lot of protocols in the industry, and safety is obviously a big priority with the industry itself as in a whole. So there is a lot of like I said, the different scheduling of maintenance and things that really kind of control a lot of the things that go on with aircraft to make sure that we're all safe and we feel safe.
And you're based around the airport.
Correct.
Obviously, yeah. It's a driver for businesses such as yourself. When we first met a couple weeks ago, you said metal, and I went to my buddy Brian Ferris because he's always talked about, he's an OEM, he's a manufacturer, so he would take goods like you sell and provide people. And what's OEM stand for?
Original Equipment Manufacturer.
Yeah, that's it.
Boom. There you go.
Right?
Dang!
Hey. 101.
Gang! So did you grow up in the area?
I grew up in the area, Mint Hill, North Carolina, Independence High School, whoop, whoop.
I'm a Harding Ram.
Yeah.
We already had that discussion.
Fellow locals, it's always nice to
meet. Do I need
locals
to separate y'all now? I mean, good grief.
It is a couple nice. I think he's going to tackle me on the way out. That's what
Well, I found it interesting when we met. It was,
he'll
you
probably
know,
slide tackle you.
I like the idea. You know, you don't meet too many locals.
Yeah.
Yeah,
much less
true.
Locals who are nice enough to kind of engage with you. You know, usually the newer locals are the foreigners that could, you know, really don't engage in the conversation. So it was nice to meet you in Chicago.
Cool, yeah.
You talking about like TJ and I being from Georgia? foreigners.
Y'all are foreigners.
We are foreigners.
Kind of, sort
to
of.
What, I got you,
to what,
TJ.
To what Jim and I are. So did you grow up working in the business?
Grew up, started, I started in sales. You know, as a kid, I was always a sales hustler. Waited tables, I was a hustler in sales, whether it be waiting tables, busting tables. I always looked at things very relational. So that's what kind of led me to believe, you know, as a salesperson, I can generate my own all through relationships. So I jumped into selling jewelry, of all things, other metals.
Okay.
I was pretty good at it, and one thing led me to the other, back to aviation metals, and it's a family business, so I started kind of in the warehouse and worked in different areas, and for me, one thing led to another, over the last 25 years, after learning the different nuances of the business, not necessarily because I wanted to, but because I had to, I was very positioned in a way where I could take the business and move it forward as I wanted, and that happened in 2017. So it was very exciting for us. Even though the business, I believe, has been around for, you know, I don't believe, the business has been around for 48 years.
Okay.
We essentially purchased the business and had to restart from zero. So it's been a very difficult, encouraging, unexpected process, but it's been very rewarding to see the outcome, to get the business where it needs to be today.
That's good. We talk about that a lot. We talk about it's more rewarding when you go to heck and back. You know, I mean, you everybody thinks, oh yeah, born with a silver spoon in your mouth or what have you.
Well, yeah, 20-year overnight success story. We talk about it a lot. So you have 42 years of the business before you really made the acquisition, and 6 years afterwards, and you kind of talk about going to ground zero. Where are you at now? Tell us about that journey.
Well, you know, I purchased the business in 2017, and it was just needed a lot of work, let's just say.
Yeah.
So a lot of the things we've done over the years is just really emphasize a management system, new software, hiring people the right seats, and really putting a focus on the inwards parts of how we can make the business more successful, given that we've already have the success that we already have, given the history of doing what we've been doing for the period of time. But so I recognize that if we can just do it better, things will, we can scale this thing. And that's our goal, is to really improve the business for the right reasons. Not to scale it for the numbers or anything like that, but it's to scale it because it's a goal for me personally to do the right thing, to do the business right. One of my biggest goals, I'll show, is, you know, everybody wants to talk about numbers and sales, and frankly, I think that's secondary. You know, my biggest challenge over the years since purchasing the business is getting the culture right, creating a harmonious atmosphere for employees, improving things so that, you know, we all work together every day, and I want everybody to be part of that team and to really improve things, to do it the right way, to do the business right, not necessarily for the end results of a sales number or to meet X.
Where does culture start? We learned this last week, didn't we?
We did.
Leadership.
It starts with us.
That's it.
Are y'all preaching to me?
Are we preaching?
Amen, brother.
Amen. I love it. I sat here and watched you tell what you want the business to be. I agree. You need to talk numbers and have targets and their measuring sticks. But at the end of the day, it's all about the culture. It's all about the people. It's doing the right thing, having the good ethical code. And when you were saying all that, you're pumping your fist, and it's exciting.
Very expressive.
Will you stick around with us?
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. Jim Contes when we return on the At Home with Roby show.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last couple of segments, you can go back Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. We have Jim Contes as our guest.
Wow.
Did I get it right?
You did it excellently.
Perfectly.
Way better than me. I can't speed it up.
He was trying to say like contest. You were getting excited like Connus. Over a contest.
Connus.
You got it? That's it.
Who was on here talking about the DJs slow your voice when you do DJs, they slow your voice down?
Oh, yeah.
Who?
Tyler Hager.
Tyler's funny, by the way. What a great show.
Yeah, that was cool.
They need to do mine. They need to speed the daggone thing up. Be like, cut it!
I can't hear now.
I'm
so
sorry,
loud.
Patrick. I'm good at coming at your eardrums.
What? No, it's all good. But Jim is telling us about he's got a 48-year-old business. He's been the owner for 6 years, works with his wife, which is wonderful. And you're in the aviation metal business, which has a lot of different faceted things that you do. But I know you're in the customer service business.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I used the word relationship earlier.
Oh,
relations,
yeah.
And I wholeheartedly believe everything's a relationship. I think, you know, whether it be a teacher, a doctor, everybody's selling their something. And I always believe that anytime you're offering anything, whether you're waiting tables or selling jewelry like I did or selling alarms door to door, I believe there's only one way to make that sale, and that's relationships. And that's not to skirt around the whole idea of creating fake relationships. I mean, like, literally having concern for the other person and meeting their demands, because it's easy to be genuine. It's hard to be fake. And I always kind of take that approach. You know, it's hard to play the checklist of what I need to do to be fake in order to appease what the customer is supposed to believe.
People are hard to do that, though.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And I'm always like, well, just be real.
Yeah. And people are really good at it.
Be you. Be genuine. Be honest. Be
vulnerable.
Direct. You know, and
I had somebody in my life, in my business, that growing up, that told white lies for no reason. It's like they were just addicted to telling white lies. And it was my pet peeve. It's like, number one, we're all human and we all aren't perfect. We're not perfect. And we make mistakes and we do stuff and we do mistakes we shouldn't do. But you got to proactively tell a white lie or a lie, period. Just don't do it. I mean, I always tell people, if I get hit in the head and get knocked out, I don't want something to come out of my mouth that somebody's never heard before, you know?
Well, and I don't want to make everything that I'm saying here come across as if I'm always just dealing with a customer, but in this case, you're talking business. And I always feel like if you're going to try to put the facade over the customer, you might win that one sale or battle or whatever you want to call it, but ultimately, they're going to prove you wrong, or they're going to read through all
it's
of the nonsense, and they're going to see it, and then you're going to ultimately lose overall. And I'm always approached if you're honest, because honesty and integrity and being who you are and representing yourself genuinely to other people, whether it be in a business transaction or a stranger interaction, it's being real with people, and I think that's what carries us forward as people. And I don't mean to get so theoretical, but you know, I think there's a lot of truth towards being genuine with each other throughout life.
Well, you're not. I didn't hear that as just talking about dealing with the customer, because you talked about your culture and your people before. Those are your customers too, right? I mean, everybody. Your wife's your customer. Your kids are your customer. We were joking about all the singing Down Deep in the Ocean or whatever, and talking about our kids. You have four children, 18 to 8.
18 to 8.
I mean, we were talking about this. We got to get you out on the river, hanging out, come out, have a bonfire or something. But we're selling to them. Now, that doesn't mean spoil them and cater to them, but you want to get along and have a good relationship.
It's one of my personal struggles these days is trying to create the accountability for my kids. A lot of kids, I think, you know, these days, have the expectation, or I think a lot of people these days have a lot of expectations towards things just happening for whatever reason, because they just expect it, versus understanding what's required in order to make that actually happen or occur. In this case, own it, or figure it out, or read the book, or put the effort in, or run the mile. To where I feel like a lot of kids and or people these days don't really see that or appreciate that that effort.
Well, no. I mean, we talked a little bit about this on the last episode with Anita. I mean, it's just a level of care. Mm-hmm. And setting that culture of people just caring about what goes on and what happens. And you mentioned that before, like legitimately caring about the other person or the other business or the other whoever's on the other side, and not making it a win. It's a win. It should be a win-win.
Well, I always giggle when I'm stuck on phone with some corporation telling me how much they appreciate me waiting on hold for 19 minutes.
Oh yeah.
You know, and it's that kind of assumption with people, corporations, in this case a bank
or an airline
oh, who wants where it's kind of that fakeness, and I think if we can bring back some more genuineness towards how we deal with people, I think we'll go much further as a society, much less in business.
Well, Reagan deals with all of our home stuff, and our life's so busy with the five kids and then my business schedule, I don't get to do all the home stuff I used to do and save a dollar, but God bless that we're able to afford some stuff. She handles it. So a lot of service providers, and I always bring feedback back to Patrick, and because we have a services company that my wife, we utilize at home a fair amount. And she said she's banging her head for months trying to get just regular service that this business is in the business to do this service. This is what they do. And she can't get it, and the guy comes out, wasted time, lies to her, and then it becomes corporate, and then this, and then that. And then she tells him, I'm done, I want my refund, you didn't do it right, I guess I got to find somebody else, which is another struggle. She's probably got 10 or 15 hours in dealing with this in her life, and all she wanted was ease of transaction. And they beg her, they say, well, can we give you a discount? She's like, I wanted to pay the bill. I just wanted you to do the job that you were hired to do. And then 20 minutes after she said she couldn't really get off the phone with them because they didn't want to lose her, 20 minutes after, there's a person in a department that calls lost clients and wants to see how they can earn their business back. And she's like, if they would have just done what they said they were going to do.
It's unbelievable.
I always find it's cheaper or at no cost to do the right thing the first time.
Isn't it?
It's free to offer service. It's free to put a smile on your face.
That doesn't matter if you're airline, metal, construction, cable company. It doesn't matter which one you are. It's the same thing.
Right.
It's a common principle.
But the cost of entry is so much more economical if you just do it the first time. And you're going to make mistakes. But when you make a mistake, fix it. Get it done.
Well, I think honesty matters too. When you deal with customers, I think it's okay to be honest and say, hey, customer, I screwed up. Or, hey, whoever you are in your relationship, I screwed up. Own it. I think that's important towards the relationship, because if you can show honesty in it, then you give yourselves a little credence moving forward.
So when we first met a month ago, you were explaining your business, and your business is unique to a contractor. You know, you're in the aviation's metal business. And you were doing your 30-second commercial about what y'all do, and you said, man, we just take care of people.
That's it.
I mean,
that's what you told me.
You're like, we sell this metal, these standard metal products that are, rare, but in our world is what we sell. You said, but we build the relationship with the customer, and then when the customer has trust in us, they call us and say, hey, I need this crazy thing. Can y'all help me with this? Of course.
That's exactly. I mean, there's nothing special about what we do. It's just special what we do. We package everything in a way where the customer feels that we have their arm around their shoulder. They're getting communicated honestly. And we own the things that we make mistakes at on occasion. And I think customers appreciate that honesty. And I think that's what builds the relationship and ultimately helps both parties improve themselves as on the customer side and the supplier side.
Well, Jim, we need to cut the commercial and pay some bills, and I don't think we have anything planned for the last segment. I got a couple questions I've been saving. If you'll stay for the last segment, I'm going to pop them on.
I suppose I will.
Jim Connors, when we return, Aviation Metals at Home with Roby. Here we go. Wicka, wicka, wicka.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm with Trent Hayson from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn.
We are.
The WWW.
We got, he's an engineer like Anita from last week, but DJ TJ. That's just good. Sounds so fresh.
Man,
and clean. And we got Jim Connors here. I'm all excited. I was talking last week about why I'm feeling good this fall and these days. I'm pretty pumped up after the shows. We're going to ride around Wilkeson a little bit and show Jim kind of what we do in the area, the community. That's fun. And so what restaurants did you work at when you were waiting and bussing tables?
All right, well, I'll let it go here. Pine Lake Country Club.
There you go.
Idlewild Country Club. I worked at the Seafarer. And was it Matthews down towards downtown Matthews area?
Yeah.
For a short period of time,
That's something I never did. I always thought I would have enjoyed, and even today would probably still enjoy being a waiter or a bartender or something.
I did some time at Ruby Tuesday, O'Charlie's, and Mellow Mushroom in Clemson when I was there. Yeah,
you know,
it was fun.
Those jobs really taught me about people. About how to be real, not how to be real, but really to engage,
how to engage and relate
and communicate and talk to, ask questions, find out their needs, that kind of thing.
No, it is helpful.
That really was my...
Anytime I ever have a an acquaintance or a friend in business that their business has struggled and they're kind of down and out. Me and Patrick have talked about this. It's like, go, you got to support your family and you're used to making this level of money. It's always seems to me like, go be a bartender or wait tables and you, in my opinion, you can make as much money as good as you are. And you create your own destiny.
Well, I'm a big believer of that. I mean, I remember working at a jewelry store, a local jewelry store back in college, and I remember working part-time, and I was selling more than the full-timers because they wanted to put criteria on who they were going to sell to because whoever walked in the door, if they didn't fit the mold, you know, they weren't going to help them out. And I remember there was one day, it was one Saturday, and a guy double parked, left his wife outside, walks in with shorts, T-shirt, and flip-flops, asked for a battery change, and nobody wanted to deal with the battery change. And I was like, you know, I'll take it. And he ends up walking out with a $7,000 diamond at 30 minutes later. And it was like, boom, there we go. It was self-accomplishment, and it was kind of rewarding, to, you know, when you see the others kind of look at you.
I felt in my life when I needed to get my battery changed, I felt at jewelry stores, they were like, oh, I gotta go help this woman over here. But, man, it's an investment. If I go have a good $2 or whatever the new battery cost a long time ago and get my battery changed, then you're like, man, that guy was cool. I'm going to go back.
Well, I mean, if you can immediately create rapport, look what happens.
Well, you feel trust, so then I need to get my wife a watch or a ring. I'm kind of hesitant to do that because I don't want to go into a jewelry store and get sold. But if I was like, man, I know Jim really helped me when I got my battery, I feel like I can go talk to him and ask him any question and walk out if I need to or whatever.
It's just meeting the customer's need or finding out.
So what jewelry store did you work at?
Brownlee Jewelers.
Brownlee, I was going to guess
Brownlee. Jewelers.
Growing up in Charlotte, that was the jewelry store.
Yeah, yeah. And then I worked at Marks and Morgan before I think they changed names and whatnot. And
Brownlee Jeweler at the one I knew of was Park Road Shopping Center, I think.
That was the main store.
Okay.
Yeah. I worked at the one at University. I went to school at UNC Charlotte.
Okay.
So I worked over there and
What'd you study in school?
Marketing.
Marketing. Yeah, business marketing. You are a marketer.
Well, yeah,
did
you play soccer in college as well, or did you just,
I played soccer my first year at Queens College when I went to Queens College.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And then transferred and then kind of.
Man, I'm going to a Queens College basketball game tonight.
Good for you. Yeah.
With your brother.
I haven't been there in years.
Random. Yeah. Yeah. What? I guess they're Division I. I didn't know that.
I didn't know they changed either. That's.
Yeah. If I'm getting this all wrong, Charlotte, I apologize. But we're going to a basketball game.
I have a mentee. We have Andrew Fairman.
Yeah.
Helped him do his Eagle Scout about 15 years ago. He went to Queens College on a triathlete scholarship. I guess that's running, biking, and swimming.
Yeah, he's a beast. He was good.
Yeah.
They have all those new programs, but when I went there, I didn't even have air conditioning in my dorm room. So,
well, you were living in the fancy place of Charlotte. If that means anything to you.
Yeah, right.
So did you play soccer? You were a good soccer player at Independence?
I played at Independence. I played I played all my life up until adulthood
until the knee
gave way. Yeah, and I broke my toe. And
That'll happen. I've got a torn up ankle from coming down the steps at my house. Well, fancy.
We can help each other out of the building. Today.
We were brothers for a minute there. Yeah.
I mean, literally, right after we got, he was limping around Chicago
when we were together.
And then the next day, he had a boot on.
Man, I forgot to tell you, Scarlett's been doing some PT on my foot. My daughter's 12, and we looked up some YouTube videos on how to make your ankle feel better from a sprained ankle. So I pay her $1.25 a minute. She does 5 minutes at a time. It's like rips it around and stretches out. So I'm on the mend, man. I'm on the mend.
I mean,
I just like the $1.25.
Connors wants to be.
It wasn't just a dollar. It was like,
well, it started at $1.50. I was at $1, so we negotiated.
Connors wants to wait tables. I want to work on your foot. $1.25 a minute. That is a good return.
I mean,
if my math's right, that's like $75 an hour.
It's a lot cheaper in North Carolina.
I don't know. Is Scarlett paying her tax dollar?
You might need a visual observation first.
He said it's a lot cheaper in North Carolina. Oh Lord,
I got nothing but love for North Carolina.
Well Jim, it's been so fun catching up with you and getting to know each other in on the radio. And outside, how can people look your business up?
Yeah,
aviationmetals.com or on LinkedIn. Reach out to us.
Check
if anybody
out.
Has any aerospace metal needs.
Check them out.
There we go. Hey, what a unique industry. Thanks for listening. Thank you for being here, Jim.
Yeah, you
Thank
Great
you,
job.
Patrick, for putting up with TJ, the DJ. Go do the golden rule today. Treat others the way you want to be treated and carry a smile around on your face. Thank you for tuning in. At Home with Roby.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.